Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschacharya Jatarane Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschacharya Jatarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadha Sri Vasa Gaur Bhaktavinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Papyacharaso Tasata Shishiman Divine Grace Yila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Yila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Papyacharaso Tasata Shishiman Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachari Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai. Premastakho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki. Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Dham Ki, Dwarka Dham Ki, Manamayi Gangamayi Ki, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda Ki. All glory to Simla Devotees, all glory to Simla Devotees. All glory to Simla Devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, Text 17. Matra, Shusra, Dhutra, Ba, Abhiskatsa, No, Bhavit, Balavan, Indriya, Ramo Vidyam Sen Api Karsati Matra Sasrati Trava Navikadasyana Bhavidyat Balavan Indriya Gramo Hiram Sam Api Karsati. Matra Vastra Hitra Va Chavit Alavandria Gramo Vidavansa Api Karsati Ladies. Matra, with one's mother. Vastra, with one's sister. Tuhitra, with one's own daughter. Va, either. Na, not. Devikita, asanaha, seated closely on one's seat. Bhavit, one should be. Balavan, very strong. Indriya Garmana, the group of senses. Vidvamsam, the very learned and advanced person. Api, even. Karsati, agitates. Translation purport by Devaki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat, even with one's own mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong, even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Please repeat. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat, even with one's mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, may be attracted by sex. Purport. Learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction. As specifically mentioned here with, such attraction is possible even one's mother, sister, daughter. Generally, of course, one is not sexually attracted to his mother, sister, or daughter. But if one allows himself to sit very close to such a woman, one may be attracted. If he is not very advanced in civilized life, however, It's specifically mentioned here, Yvamsyapi Karsati. Even if one is highly advanced materially or spiritually, he may be attracted by lust desires. The object of attraction may even be one's mother, sister, or daughter. Therefore, one should be extremely careful in dealing with women. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was most strict in his dealings, especially after he accepted the sannyas order. Indeed, no woman could come near him, offer him respect. Again, one is warned herewith that one should be extremely careful in dealing with women. A brahmachari is forbidden even to see the wife of his spiritual master if she happens to be young. The wife of the spiritual master may sometimes take some service from the disciple of her husband, as she would from a son. But if the wife of the spiritual master is young, the brahmachari is forbidden to render service to her. Srila Prabhupada teaches, the Bhagavad Purana is brilliant as the sun and has risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance, the age of Kali, shall get light from the Purana. I had occasion to see Srila Prabhupada's wife. It was in Calcutta. She had just died, apparently, and they were bringing her in front of the temple. So, but in today's world, there are so many new gurus and so many young wives. So this instruction is certainly up to point. There are many stories. We're now dealing with something that's been going on for the whole chapter, something of interest to everybody, sex life. Everybody calls it sense gratification, but it's lusty affairs. So the example of one of these extreme cases was Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Ananta Vasudeva. You may know the story. But he was an accepted personal servant of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, very advanced scripturally. He knew the Vedas, he was the right-hand man. He was so renowned in his knowledge that he was like very close to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And it happened that his wife was promiscuous and had an affair with another man. And because of that, the son found out about it. To stop the knowledge from reaching her husband, the wife killed the son. So when the husband found out about it, Ananta Vasudeva killed himself. So these are warnings that go on about the relationship between men and women. Prabhupada made it very clear that devotee women are exempt from all of this knowledge that goes on in the material world. They're not lusty. There's a story, Kadarma Muni and David Dahuti exchanged loving affairs, and he expanded himself 9 times for his wife. And that pleasure went on for years because 9 personalities were playing a part. So that's where this whole incident comes about, women are 9 times more lusty. But it's not true. Not according to Srila Prabhupada and devotee women. Devotee women are exalted, honored, and respected all across the board. There was an incident in Europe back in the earlier days that a brahmachari, or a married couple, they could have their experience in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, no more. So the couple would enter the room fully clothed, and there was a kirtan party outside, ripping it up, roaring up, the kirtans going on while the couple engaged in trying for a child. I mean, that was the extreme that happened in the European yatra at that time. I mean, sex life is known to be the king of pleasures and ultimately the king of avoidance in terms of devotee life. So we try our very best, and ultimately, the adage, out of sight, out of mind, is the answer to most of it. And Prabhupada says the only way to rid oneself of sex life and the desire is Krishna consciousness. The only way. There's no other way. One can try whatever he wants, austerity, penance, and prolonged abstinence, but ultimately there's a chance to fall down. So many great, huge stalwarts, Indra, Brahma, Shiva, and even Agni. Agni was present in the fire sacrifices, and twice he was attracted to a female that was being walking around the fire. So he got attracted, and Swaha, his wife, disguised herself as that lady, and they had a relationship, and that was Agni also. So if the demigods can have problems like that, then what to speak of people like us? There's a cave analogy. You may have heard it. Socrates, by prophet, was a Muni. He was a disguised Muni in deference to his knowledge. He knew the Vedas from some way. He got a hold of it. But he gave an analogy that was carried on with Plato. It goes like this. Maybe you've heard it. There are people locked up in a cave in darkness, and there's a fire behind the people. And so that fire is illuminating shadows cast on the wall in front of them. So they're seeing these flickering shadows on the wall. And they're chained by their own desires, and that's sex life. Sex life is a prison sentence for everybody in the material world. If we're in a body, then you're imprisoned by the nature of the sex desire that keeps us lingering always for more enjoyment. It never ends. And so one person got free. He managed to reach to the top and see light. Came the spiritual life. So then he wanted naturally to free his fellow captives. And so he went back down and said, "This light, there's a spiritual life, there's something more than what's in this material world. There's something up there that we all should take advantage of." And so what did they do? They killed him. They said, "No, we want our sex life. We want our understanding the way things are." And that's the way it is in the material world. If you try to convince somebody, the prophet, when he got to America, he said, "Who's going to believe me?" Well, they ask everybody to give up sex life, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Who can believe that? Who's going to do it? So he was hopeful, but it didn't seem like it was going to be possible. But here we are in Mayapur as devotees, exempt from this whole material complexity. I mean, it's so complex. And like Prabhupada says, even old men past the age of 80 go to nightclubs and they keep dreaming about the younger pleasures they had when they were younger. So it's funny when sometimes you get brahmacharis and sannyasis talking about sex life. It's really funny to me. Because what do you know about it? When you do know it, I was married for 45 years, and now vanaprastha for 25. So ultimately, marriage is an opportunity to enjoy a sweet life, and ultimately it's a dark well, and it's not easy to get out of. Most married couples end up dead alongside each other. My parents died a year apart. They fought almost every day. But at the end, my mother couldn't take it. And she died a year later. So to bring another point, Freud says, in the massive culture, material existence, most men want to have a relationship with their mother. And Prabhupada heard, he says, "Well, maybe in your culture, but not in my culture." And so, and Prabhupada used Freud as a kicking stone. Freud was more convinced about sex life than about God. So, I agree with Shyamasundar. They got into all these different philosophies and told Prabhupada about what these different men were thinking. And Prabhupada devastated every one of them, all of them. One after another, all the different sannyasis or all the different yogis. So I got many points to cover. There's one little story, a little antidote. There was a godbrother who was very rich and very attracted to women and very difficult for him to get married. He tried so many times, he looked at different girls and nobody could measure up. And the reason, because he didn't want to lose any of his money. And so he finally, I told him, I said, "Listen, it's not hard. to be attracted to any woman. In fact, come with me to the temple and I'll, it was in Vrindavan. I'll introduce you to two of my good friends. We get to the temple. And outside there's two old ladies, they're just haggardy and just crippled up. And I says, here you go, there's my two friends. Why don't you pick one? He didn't appreciate the joke. Well, sex life, as we know, are a hindering obstacle that we have to encumber with delicacy. That ultimately, like Prabhupada says, out of vision, out of mind. But Prabhupada was accused of the men and women associating all the time in the movement. What can be done? So he made provision to marry all his disciples who were living together. Then at one point, I don't know if you know this, but there was a point in which Prabhupada said, you can take more than one wife. You can have four. I picked out four and I was thinking, oh boy, here we go. Then luckily I didn't do it. Then it changed and he said, no, not, it's illegal in America. Polygamy is okay with the Mormons and they do it, ultimately not for the general public. When a couple get together, there's a loss of vitality. Of course, the man loses 7 pints of blood in every discharge of semen. Semen is something that's very precious, and by the upward, there's an exercise you can use to push your semen up to your brain when there's a sexual attraction. There's a way that you bend down and you kick up and you make the flow go to the brain. A good yogi can do that automatically. There was one yogi who lived 400 years in Vrindavan, and he was able to, through his anus, suck in water in Jamuna, clean out his system and pour it out. He had the ability to raise the semen, that's why he lived 400 years. So longevity is something that comes along with abstinence. So if you want to live 400 years, then just give up sex life. There's a question in my mind that Prabhupada was against divorce in every sense of the word, but yet he was so adamant about changing your lifestyle at age 50. If you're married at age 50, then it's time to start thinking about vanaprasa. So it just happened in my life. It worked out that way and became vanaprasa early in life, last 25 years. My wife had to go see her parents who died. First the father and the mother, and the daughter had to go to college, so it ended up, you know, it worked that way. I have a friend and a godbrother who in Vrindavan kept praying to Radharani for a good wife. He says, oh Radharani, please benedict me. I gotta have this girl. She's a French girl, but don't let that hinder her. She's a beautiful girl, I know she'd be a good wife. He kept praying like that and went on for years. But finally the girl accepted his proposal. And he's been miserable ever since. So anyway, it's all about humor and the best way. There's another funny one. I saw a video of two skeletons kissing. It's an X-ray video that shows two people engaged in a kissing affair. And so all you see is these two skeletons embracing, and that's the story of it. That's really down to bones. Prabhupada describes the whole incident. Sex life is no more than scratching an itch. The more you scratch it, the more you itch. And the more you scratch it, the more blood you're going to drag out of your body. So rubbing skin, scratching the itch is something that we try to avoid as much as possible. It doesn't go anywhere. Jayananda had an experience. He told me about it. He says, Prabhupada said he could get married, so he took one girl and he married her. And it turned out she was a lesbian. It didn't work out, so He gave up on that one. So then he said, I'll try again. So he got married a second time. Guess what? Another lesbian. So I guess Christian's telling me something. I better give up the whole idea. And I agree in the very beginning, when Prabhupada wrote it on the board, no illicit sex. I agree went nuts. He said, what? He says, how are we going to give up sex? He says, well, just give it up. Well, I guess better than a little better to give it up completely. Yes, give it up completely. I come from a town upstate New York. In that town, there's a woman called Margaret Sanger. She's the woman who started Women's Lib, started birth control in America, started women's suffrage. Women can vote because of her. And she's a long-term practitioner of abstinence and women's rights. So because of her, there's a big building in America, in my hometown, dedicated to her and birth control. So that brings up to abortion. And so the women who go through that experience, and sometimes now it's Democrats, I just heard, they voluntarily voted that it's all right. Well, it's not abolished anymore. Abortion is actually legalized up to practically the time of birth. There's an incident, I think it was Chicago, and Prabhupada is being instructed, inquired from a woman who's a reporter. She's asking, Srila Prabhupada, why do you shave your head? Prabhupada gave a really funny answer. The better a cool head and cool legs. The women shave their legs. Then she asked, or he asked, there's another reporter there, what happens if everybody in the world becomes attached to Krishna as much as you? Prabhupada smiled and thought for a minute. And what's he say? Everybody know? There'd be no more hippies. I said, well, what's a hippie? Said, oh, you know better than me. So I was an artist from an early age, and I always loved the ladies, unfortunately. And I used to bring home one lady. When you bring home a lady, it's pandemonium about getting married. Then I kept bringing the woman home. So pretty soon my father gave up. He says, Alfred, you got to decide sometime in your life. You got to get married and settle down, have an affair, have a family. All right. Then there's a story. Yamuna Devi Dasi was outside the room in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada brought a dam in her room. And Prabhupada, there's a monkey that came regularly and always sat there until the monkey got some kind of prasadam. So this time, the monkey's sitting there and listening to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's talking to the monkey in monkey talk. Blah, 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 blah. And so the monkey was listening to Prabhupada. And Yamuna said later, what? You were talking to the monkey, said Prabhupada. That's amazing. You can talk monkey talk. Yes. What did the monkey want? He wanted to know when prasad be ready. So he was anxious to wait until he got something fed. And I says, now you were ghost swami in your last life. That means you were playing around with sex life. So because of that, now you got a monkey body. But don't worry. And after this body, you're going back to God, going back to Godhead. So the monkey left without taking prasadam. So at the age of 50, we're invited to give up married life and become vanaprast. So Prabhupada is very much against divorce, but divorce and vanaprast are two different methods altogether. A divorce is something that disturbs the whole family. If the husband divorces the wife or vice versa, the children are affected. And the children are affected, it means disturbed home life. But vanaprast, a woman and a man have to agree together, that ultimately there'll be a separation and around 50 or later. And so, generally speaking, it doesn't happen very often. But that's the ideal, so that the man can attend his forest and go to spiritual life. So, Prabhupada, in a talk, a room conversation in Germany in 74, he said, in the spiritual world, there's no sex life. But then Krishna Dwarka had so many wives. And he also recommended that Krishna, he's Supreme Lord, he can have as many wives as he wants. So there's a Binta Beta Beta Tattva. There's two ways to look at the whole thing as far as Krishna is concerned. When a couple engage in this kind of a thing, the words come out of the mouth, I love you, I love you. It suddenly becomes, I lust you, I lust you. The Prabhupada says, the only love is for Krishna, so that's where we place a repository of all love goes to Krishna. If we ignore these four regular principles, Prabhupada says the result is something very dramatically drastic. That a person who doesn't follow the four regular principles is no better than an animal. And so, if they don't follow, if they don't accept Krishna consciousness, like we don't have that problem, but the majority of people in this world are outside the realm of Krishna consciousness and have no hope. And if they don't follow and don't accept Krishna consciousness, then they'll go down through the species of life and maybe become an amoeba. They have to go all the way back up through the whole species again. And that means they'll lose the whole blessing of Lord Chaitanya's 10,000 years, golden years, and ultimately leave the body and the in-breath of Mahavishnu in millions of years of being repository condition. Then finally back out, back into the position where they were, and finally end up back in the human form of life to do the same mistake again. So by factors of unknown reason, we are here now. We've made the choice and ultimately we're able to make the connection and become Krishna conscious. Blessed are we. And Prabhupada says, in Krishna consciousness, there's no crime, there's no abortion, there's no drugs, no illicit sex, none of these factors that are implemented in the material world. When he was in Chicago, he talked to the officer in charge of public relations, police officer who was a captain at that time. He says, listen, you give us facility. Crime cannot be stopped in the manner which you do. You're punishing people who are going to just do the same thing. They go to jail to learn how to be a better criminal. So if you want to change the mentality, then it's Krishna consciousness. And the heart has to change. The heart has to be softened. Ultimately, if you can soften the heart, then crime stops. All the different problems in society can be averted by Krishna consciousness. The only way, Prabhupada says, the only way. So wars can stop, crime will stop. Ultimately, the whole world can change if we keep the preaching going and expand the movement around the world. There was a famous broadcaster in Australia who obviously seen all this attraction of sense gratification all over the media, billboards, TV, just everywhere. Everybody's selling their product through the use of sex life, attractive bodies, male and female. So he says sex is everywhere except in the bedroom where it belongs. So if we're still attracted to sex life, it means we still have a hankering. And ultimately, it's a disadvantage for going back home, back to Godhead. It means we've got to clear up the whole problem completely. And when we look at, there's references again about how to keep the semen from going out in a normal way of sex attraction. First is you keep the body cool. You don't heat up the body, no chilies. especially just before we're going to bed, if there's nocturnal pollution, it's because of different reasons. Because if you eat the wrong foods and eat too much just before you leave the body, ultimately you're a victim. So don't eat at least 3 or 4 hours before you retire. Hot milk even at least a half hour before you sleep. And no carrots, beets, no eggplant, because in the skin it thins out the semen. And so ultimately we follow a very strict diet, and ultimately going back to God is the key for abstinence and for avoiding the whole attraction of sex life. So I just remembered as I grew up, everybody around me was so attracted to the whole opposite the sex life. And I felt myself something unprepared for. I was a shy, innocent kind of a person when I was young. And came up the time for the junior prom, and you got to invite a girl to dance with for the whole junior prom and senior prom. I was so inexperienced, I couldn't even talk to a woman. It was like embarrassing for me. Even I got ganged up by 4 women in the library just because they knew I was the way I was. I was innocent, very naive and shy. And then I joined the Navy and that changed. She probably gave us a higher taste. But because we're devotees, we got a chance now. Eat the right foods, do the right action, everything for Krishna, perform devotional service, and live together in peace and prosperity. And so ultimately, there's no problem in this life as far as we go as devotees. I remember asking a question to my school counselor in college. What about premarital sex? He says the all-time answer. You try on your shoes before you buy them. So that's the key to, I think, everybody in the material world, that ultimately sex life is meant to be free and easy. The freer it is for the male. The male, if he engages in sex life treatment too maturely, ultimately his semen thins out and he's not able to sponsor a birth, a son. Ultimately he'll come out a girl every time. If the woman is stronger, then you get a girl every time. And so this is the way to understand how to enjoy life. Prabhupada gave a lot of knowledge about sex life. I researched it a lot. I came up with a lot of points that I didn't know about. And Prabhupada says, how do I give up sex life? And he says, just give it up. He says, there's no reason to be prolonging it any longer, because ultimately it's just our basic fundamental principle that if you give up something, you're strong about it, replace with something better. And so Prabhupada replaced sex life with nice prasadam, devotional service, and an ultimate end means by which we can chant the holy name, make it back to Godhead. So in the interim, while we're still practicing devotional service, it's incumbent upon us to share it with others. Bhagavatam class, and now it goes around the world, that if we keep ourselves free and unattracted, then we can preach stronger. It can be a strong personality, all of us individually able to preach the message of Krishna consciousness in a very strong manner. We're doing stoplights in America, giving back to Godhead. So the car pulls up, stops for the red light. You got 10 seconds to give the whole Krishna conscious message. So blast it out and ultimately give it a magazine. Give it really fast and I hope they give you something back. I was told you can't let anybody walk by without giving them back to Godhead. So this was in Pasadena. And they were coming across down the street, four or five in a line, four or five together, and four or five more behind. So I give every person back to God, four or five at a time. Next line, I give it again. And I run back and I try to catch up everybody in the first line. They give you a donation. And then back to God, as we're in the trash can, clean them up and start all over again. So at that time, it was a record. It was like 270 back to Godheads in one day. Now it's, I don't know, you can do that in a day, in an hour. But at that time, it was something really important, because it was Rameshwar who said this thing about, if they lose a chance of Lord Chaitanya's mercy in this 10,000 years, ultimately, they'll miss the opportunity for the whole of their life. You go back into the in-breath of Mahavishnu. Millions and millions of years will go by before they get a chance again. And then it's very rare that Lord Chaitanya appears in Krishna also, day of Brahma. So we come from a very degraded background, most of us. I am. And so to take to Krishna consciousness means either we were devotees in a previous life, or actually hippies in the way of renunciation. Prabhupada appreciated the hippie movement, because it meant here are people who have given up all these attractions of concomitant to material existence, sex life, pleasure of the flesh, car, house, family. Everything renounced, no more. Even wealthy people in the early days. So, Prabhupada had a real collection to choose from when he was first starting out. And because he had such a hard time in the beginning, it was a test for Prabhupada in order for us to follow in the same pattern. And Gaudiya Mata heard the first thing that happens, through the instruction of Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Maharaj. First they preach and they print up some literature, distribute the literature, chant the holy name on the street. Sorry. And ultimately, at some point, open the storefront, begin preaching, have deity worship, and ultimately expand the movement. And so Prabhupada did the same thing, same exact thing. And so, if we can just start preaching and chanting under a tree anywhere, there are trees everywhere. So it can be done by us in the same fashion that Prabhupada did it. And Prabhupada had a hard time in the very beginning because of what he had to deal with. Hippies, homosexuals, very liberated people who were not prone to have any kind of restriction. And so he decided to try it. So I began preaching in Tompkins Square Park, and I walked through that park every day on my way uptown to get a job in advertising, working as an artist. I missed it by a couple days. They started chanting the day I got my job uptown, and I got the job in advertising, doing artwork for the TV and print publicity. So I just missed it. And I was trained as an artist all the way from the very beginning. Art school was one of the toughest schools in America. When I joined the movement, I thought, now I can really do something for Prabhupada. And so I started with the CC just began. And Prabhupada was told an artist had joined in Miami. And so Prabhupada told Aviram to send that artist immediately. So I was instructed to come, my wife, to come to L.A., work on the books. So the books are first beginning. It was just a week into the books. CC was just beginning, and they were setting up the pattern, how to do it. And so there was a sample test you had to go through in order to become an artist for the books. There was a painting that was Radhakrishnan together in an embrace. And so I painted it. And Brahmacharya at that time was Brahmacharya, and he was instructing everybody how to get into this dynamic pressure of 17 volumes in 17 weeks. So it seemed like an impossible chore. They weren't anywhere near that before. And so I got assigned to paint a picture that was a test to see if I could do anything. So I had Ramachandra buy me a pair of glasses because I got my glasses were stolen. And he comes into my room and I'm painting away. And I got a special way I do it. I use both hands. I throw the color on and clean it up and register it with the right hand. So Ramachandra walked in, he saw this abstract painting on a wall where I was working. He saw this abstract color and me working with two hands and no glasses. He just gave up. He said, there's no hope for this guy. Then I got transferred into fate, working on the dioramas. I thought, well, okay, I don't know anything about sculpture. Then I did a change in bodies. I was assigned to make the first Prabhupada Murti. And then I did all the demons and all the weapons on the universal form. I did the monkeys on the diorama with Krishna and the monkeys. In any case, I learned a whole other art form. And since then, I've made hundreds and hundreds of Prabhupada Murtis. If you've been to Vrindavan, you'll see some of the work there in bronze. I did it in bronze because ultimately everything I was doing was being destroyed by some of my good friends. So I said, well, I'll do it in bronze and then see what they can do with that. So they didn't want to put the dioramas in. Upstairs in the Samadhi in Vrindavan, there's 8 panels on Prabhupada, Guru Vastakam prayers, done in high detail. And so a couple of my godbrothers didn't want to put them in. So we don't want anything to do with you. I said, okay, I'm very sorry. I try my very best, but what can I do? In any case, I took the panels to Bombay, and there I put them up for sale. And I got so many, one of the top artists in India, his name was S.M. Pandit, and he was the greatest painter that I had seen in India. He was really an expert, well known, very famous. So we go to his house, myself and another friend, and we're waiting to see him, and his wife, then his daughter, came to the door. And there I saw on the wall a painting with 3 girls, 3 muses. It was his daughter. So it was like waiting for Rembrandt to come. And finally he came. And we hit it off unbelievably, so strong, I can't believe it. And so at the time of his death, he wanted to come to Vrindavan and work with together with the two of us painting Krishna Leela. But when his son said, as he was getting ready to leave his body, he saw all these pictures that he had painted of Krishna Leela and posed around his brain. It was actually Krishna in the paintings. So he was, on his last moments, seeing Krishna Leela and being part of the Krishna story. So he made it back to Godhead, obviously. So if we keep that in mind and keep the pictures of Krishna in our head, in any form of the deities, whatever we can do, keep Krishna in the front of our head. And so ultimately at the time of death, we get that vision. We'll see it in terms of our last moments. And you get the flashback of all your visions all come back to you in a matter of a flash. So your whole life goes flashing by in a matter of minutes. So, any case, we never got together, but the panels that were to be installed in the Samadhi, I didn't sell them. I just did that as a means by which I could get the panels back into the Samadhi. I get a call and said, okay, bring them back. We're ready to put them in. There'll be a big program. We'll put them in. So anyway, they were going in. And as I was putting in the bronze panels upstairs, one devotee, sannyasi, was taking out my dioramas on the other side in the Samadhi Museum. So that's why I turned to bronze. Now these bronze panels the most attractive feature in the temple. Everybody has their picture taken in front of this prophet walking diorama. I'm working now, engaged on making two or three more books. One is The Spark of the Renaissance. One is Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is incidentally will be used in the TOVP, because three levels in the TOVP, the drum under the dome, is meant to be Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the story of Gopakumara going back home, back to Godhead. So in those panels, there's so much Leela. I mean, there's Krishna Leela. Even Chaitanya is mentioned by Sanatana Goswami, because he had direct instruction and direct association with Supreme Lord. And he credits everything he knows to his brother, Rupa, as being his spiritual master. So in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumara goes through all these different phases. First he's king of earth, and he's king of Indra, and he's king of Puri. Puri, Indra, and Lord Brahma touches a foam that turned into a monster and chased Brahma right off the throne. So he becomes Lord Brahma. So he gets all these different massive positions. He gets to be with Mahavishnu, and he gets to be embraced by Lakshmi, cuddled in a motherly way. He gets, everywhere he goes, he's disenchanted because he's not with his Gopal. He wants to taste the mellows of Krishna and the Gopal Leela. So he has the Gopal mantra, which is part of the Gayatri. But we have the Maha mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We got a couple of minutes. Anybody wants to make a suggestion? So we're... Is there a microphone? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Wow. In relation to the sloka, there's a story that Hari Sari tells that he was here. Srila Prabhupada was here in Mayapur, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the room alone with Hari Sari, and Bhishma wanted to come and speak with Srila Prabhupada. So Bhishma shut down, and Hari Sari thinks, okay, they're only speaking Bengali, it's his sister, I'm going to get up and, you know, go elsewhere. And he got up to leave the room, and Prabhupada says, no, sit down, sit down. So he made him sit down. The whole time Bhishma and Prabhupada were speaking in Bengali, having a conversation, and then Bhishma left. And Prabhupada says, never leave me alone in the room with a woman.
Oh.
And Hari starts thinking, you know, it's your sister, you know. And Prabhupada says, no, you never leave me alone with a woman, even my sister.
Well, she knew that. She'd always bring a girl with her.
Yeah.
She dragged her with Lakshmi Muni one time, and they had to be some girl with her so that she could stay there. There's a funny story related to Bhishma. She's sitting there in Calcutta in the temple next to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is laughing and laughing. So she keeps saying she's not eating, but she's getting fatter. It's like, I can't, you know anybody who gets fat by not eating? He kept repeating it, making it so funny. Everybody in the room was laughing except for, and even Bhishma was laughing. She didn't understand any of it, but she was laughing and having a good time. But he was making fun of her. She was getting fatter, and I tried to move her once. She had to go to the bathroom, and I was watching over, and I tried to pick her up. She was really heavy. I couldn't do it. And so Prabhupada had a real affection for his sister, and ultimately they spent their whole life together. She was so sweet. In the end, when Prabhupada left, she was right there, tears in her eyes, lamenting the loss of her brother. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go permanently. Hari Hari Bhagavan.